Hey, welcome everybody to the latest episode of the Inside Everyday Investor. Chris Howard and Rich Elliott are my two guests today. They're from MyGold, precious metal dealers. Now, there's no rule of thumb with the amount of precious metals that you should own. If you want to, you may choose to allocate 0% to this space. It's totally up to you, and it should be. I invest in precious metals personally, but if you're wondering if you should also just think critically on a few things. For one, unlike shares, by holding gold, you're exclusively relying on price appreciation alone. So long as there's more people in the future who believe gold is valuable than there is new supply coming online, you should be all good. But there's no additional layer of return like there is with investing in shares. There's no dividend income. There's also some cost to consider when you hold gold. As an exchange-traded fund, there's costs in the form of fees and tax, and in the physical, where do you store gold, and how does the insurance piece work? To top it off, gold has had several rather volatile moments in the past, not just in the fun and games type of volatility either, but the kind that makes you feel like you made a mistake when you come to selling it. So why do so many people hold gold, like myself? Well, I'll cover off a few thoughts on that this Friday, so be sure to check that one out. Now, Rich Elliott was on the panel last week at the News of the Money World live event, and he also graciously donated three amazing limited edition silver coins to a few of our lucky attendees. So just wanted to give Rich a special shout out of thanks again. So thanks so much again, Rich, for your generosity here. Now, for those of you who made it to the Auckland event, by the way, thank you again so much for coming out. It was awesome to be able to meet with you and to chat with so many, to find out a bit more about how things are on the other side of this microphone. Hopefully we'll get this on the cards again to happen next year too. Now enjoy the show, have an awesome week, and we'll catch you in the next one. Welcome to the latest edition of the NZ Everyday Investor podcast. In this podcast, I cover a wide range of topics ranging from property investment, investing in managed funds and KiwiSaver, precious metals and digital assets like Bitcoin. Why do I do it? Because I love learning and helping everyday Kiwis build new wealth for the new world that we're heading into. I'm Darcy Anguero, your host and qualified financial advisor. My goal is to get self-directed DIY investors thinking about all the tools available to build wealth. While I hope this will assist you in making more informed financial decisions, please do keep in mind that nothing you hear today is considered financial advice. Investments or strategies discussed may not be suitable for everyone, so be sure to do your own research before acting on anything discussed today. Further information on today's show can be found by tapping or swiping over the cover art in your podcast player. Here you'll find some show notes, which will contain all relevant links relating to today's topic. Hope you enjoy the show. So first up, I have Chris Howard, non-executive director of MyGold, and then I have Rich, CEO of MyGold. How are you guys tonight?
Good, Darcy.
Pretty good, Darcy. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's just get straight off. It's been a while since I've covered the gold topic. Real fan of gold, especially when crypto looks pretty crappy. Tell me, there's a lot of news that's coming out in every sphere right now. And I was reading a report. It was a World Council gold report that stated the demand for gold had risen about 28% this year, 2022, primarily driven by a flight towards safer assets amid soaring inflation. So I guess what I want to know is how much of this rise in price could be attributed to soaring inflation versus rise in geopolitical tensions?
Yeah, good question. We see it every day because we're dealing with the customer, and we hear the concerns and the fears that they have around what's the reasons for purchasing precious metals. And you can pretty much run the whole gamut of everything you could imagine that people are worried about. And definitely inflation is one of those things, but it's not the only thing. But we don't sort of see inflation slowing down that much because of, running through into food prices and things like that.
And what about this, what I'm hearing right now around central banks gobbling up all the gold around the world, right? So central banks this trend probably happened this year as well, have been buying up gold like crazy since, like the most since 1967, I think is what I read. Mm-hmm. Chris, from your perspective, do you have any views on that as to why central banks are gobbling up gold?
It's interesting, Darcy. You know, there's been a big take up from gold from certainly from three countries. Turkey has seen a huge increase in the last quarter, actually in this year. So it's Uzbekistan. Some people will probably say, well, where is Uzbekistan? But it's an oil-based economy near Turkey and India. But of course, you've got Russia and China as well, who don't declare the amount of gold that they're buying. And it's rumored that they're buying. They are the leaders in this. And it's really a flight to gold, as you say. It's that safe haven, which we're seeing from a consumer investor point of view. But also, it's interesting to see central banks buying, as you say, 28% up this year, the highest it's been since 1967.
And what do you think the strategy is around that? And I guess I'm thinking as well around just maybe how the US dollar is world reserve currency, maybe at some stage that doesn't always persist. And if there is another world reserve currency, which is backed by gold, well, that would be interesting. Is that a plausible theory?
Yeah, there's a lot been written about, rumored from Russia as developing an alternative to a dollar-based stablecoin. Again, it is rumor. There has been talk, but it's really a move away from having a dollar-backed economy, which has really hit the Russian economy in the past 9 months with the sanctions. And that's driven from a BRICS, from the BRICS countries, so Brazil, Russia, India, China, and obviously, and those four countries. So there's a lot of talk about it at the moment. It hasn't pulled together into a specific stablecoin.
So if there was some sort of move like that, where these countries adopted gold as some sort of commodity or precious metal backed currency, how does that work from an investment thesis? Because for me, as an everyday investor of gold, I'm looking at that as a hedge against inflation. And there's also a certain sort of systemic risk that I'm trying to hedge against. But is it quite a bullish signal as me as a retail investor? Should that occur? Should central banks in those BRICS countries use gold like that?
Yeah, I personally believe it is. I think Rich will agree with me on that. It shows the power of gold and the belief that this is a tangible it's a tangible asset that is worth holding. So banks are certainly moving to that, and I've spoken with several central banks in the last month or so, and they're very bullish about gold, certainly ones in Europe, and it just reflects the strength of gold as that sort of like that source of wealth.
And so we're recording this in a week of a lot of really crazy stuff happening in the world of crypto assets, and Bitcoin and gold have kind of had this, almost in a sense, this competing sort of thing, but there is an overlap either way, whether you sit on one side of the fence or the other. There's definitely an overlap where some of the use case for gold can kind of also be seen in Bitcoin. But when we look at our returns, it's not always just about a high return, it's about a good return. So hopefully you can kind of appreciate where I'm going here, but we know now historically anyway that we've had high returns by holding Bitcoin, but what is it about holding gold which gives us a good return, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll jump in there on that one. I think it's worth mentioning the market cap of gold as well, being something around $11 trillion. So it is a very big and a very deep market. And I'll sort of go back to the conversation I remember we had a couple of years back, Darcy, I think in the studio, where we talked about gold and silver being money. So, you know, you see that role throughout history, and, you know, whether or not we come back to that, well, you know, a lot of our customers are taking that view as well. So, you know, we think that, but definitely in terms of the volatility, yeah, gold can be quite boring by comparison, but I think that's part of the reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, Darcy, it's been in some respects a horror story in the last week or so with what's rolled out within crypto. But that's, you know, let's be honest, it's an isolated case. It's a big case. It doesn't mean all of crypto is down the same way. But it does highlight, as Rich was saying, the ongoing steadiness and reliability of gold, which is not the sexiest of investment sources, but it is reliable and it's consistent. And, you know, and I think that's really borne out in the last week or so, and shown what can happen when things unravel within crypto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes when things kind of get a little bit shaky, you kind of look at the things that are more tangible as well, right? Mm-hmm. And that's definitely true of physical gold that you hold, is that tangible characteristic. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to your own interactions with customers on a day-by-day basis, what are some of the reasons? Are they changing their reasons as to why they're wanting to get exposure to gold at the moment? And are you seeing a lot of new customers?
Yeah, so we have been very busy for at least the last couple of years, and not only new customers, but of course repeat customers. And the amount of customers that have purchased from us that haven't actually sold their metal back is very interesting as well. People tend to buy it, want to hold it for a very long time frame, unless they have something come up that they need to sell it for. So look, we have customers that even worried about cash in the bank. So, you know, bail-ins or things like that where government overreach may affect them in terms of their own, I guess, sovereignty or freedom of wealth and what they choose to do with their capital and their money. From, you know, people looking at the increasing situations with tensions and conflicts around the world. You know, in New Zealand, of course, and other parts of the world, inflation is very high. You know, and where are you going to put your money now, particularly if you're looking at, I think, protecting and preserving your wealth? So, and definitely we see the physical precious metals as the safest way to do that.
Yeah, onto that then, the physical precious metals as the safest way to do that. Like, I personally own physical, but I also own exchange-traded funds in unallocated gold and silver. Mm-hmm. And again, looking at the FTX scandal that exploded last week, I kind of look at that and go, well, man, could that ever happen in the gold space? And it just goes to show, like, I guess you can never say with certainty that anything is off the cards when you're dealing with these financialized products. Mm-hmm. So are you seeing a shift with your customers who have had exposure to exchange traded funds or other types of gold exposure, trading that in and wanting to go for the physical now?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think we've had people who have tried to redeem, you know, ETF type products or certificates and found it very hard to do so. So you find it in times when particularly there has been a lot of demand, where you might have read about the silver squeeze on Reddit and things like that, where the mints around the world aren't keeping up with the demand. So this, you know, on the demand side is absolutely massive. People can't get enough of it. So it almost doesn't matter the price of the underlying commodity if you can't get it. So we had times like that fairly recently where, you know, we just can't get hold of a product to sell to a customer. So, you know, we see some very interesting things like that happening in the market, and just, you know, just a lot of uncertainty, people being quite nervous about everything. And, you know, that doesn't seem to be dissipating.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, Rich, as well, that, you know, as you just said, the mints are really struggling to keep up. I mean, the demand is unprecedented. I was recently at a conference, met with a lot of the mints from around the world. And they say they have not seen demand as they're seeing at the moment, both for silver and gold, in recent memory, in fact, ever. And that's for silver. That's for coins, specifically for coins, but bars as well. And these are for individual investors driven from the silver squeeze, but also demand for physical gold. So I would say, Darcy, this need for physical rather than allocated is absolutely fundamental on it.
And how much, like going back to the start of this recording, when we were talking about some central banks around the world gobbling up more and more of the gold, how much of a, I guess, competitor or threat are central banks for retail investors that are trying to get a hold of gold? Like, are we competing against central banks? Is that why there's such a shortage of the metal at mints at times?
Yeah, we're not so sure. Like, I suppose, you know, when you look at silver and you know, I think one study I looked at a few years ago, we would have consumed available silver within the next 7 to 14 years. And that was, you know, that was sort of printed something like 5 years ago. So, you know, I sort of think the end game for silver, we're approaching that because it is consumed in industry. It's the second most useful commodity. After oil, it's got like 10,000 uses. So it is extremely useful. But yeah, look, I mean, everyone's in the market competing at the end of the day, but I think too, you might have to consider the form of the product too. So typically what we're selling to customers are coins or bars that are, you know, smaller denominations than, as Chris will know, the very large good delivery LBMA bars that the central banks would purchase.
And what ratio of gold to silver are you selling then? You mentioned silver coins as well, and I want to come back to that shortly. But in terms of just the material itself, the gold versus silver, how much of the silver is as a percentage of your sales?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the number offhand, but we certainly sell more silver by weight. You know, that's absolutely true. And yeah, silver has been very hard to get hold of. We do have new suppliers, like we're working getting product directly from the Royal Mint from the UK. So we get product from them. But, you know, we've had some very interesting situations where we've had, had the Queen pass away, and that's created the previous effigy has now become a bit exclusive and extra hard to get. And whilst we're waiting for the, you know, King Charles II effigies to come out as well. So there has also been some additional opportunities for investors that go beyond just purchasing the bullion for the metal value.
So I was curious about that actually, and I forgot to write that down as one of the questions, but like having the king's head on a coin and no longer seeing the queen's head, what does that do to the price of your coin? So if you had a whole bunch of queen head coins, let's call them effigies because that's the proper word. Is that now increasing the value of that, or is there like a novelty aspect around the new ones that will come out soon with the king's head on there?
Well, actually both. So we had, at the day she passed, the coins, the proof coins we call, so that's the highly collectible, very limited mintage ones. They doubled and tripled overnight in value. And, wow. You know, we had increased demand from around the world for products that, particularly high-end, even the high-end kilo gold coins that we had on the shelf that might sit there for a little while, people were just seeking them out, finding them wherever in the world they could buy them. So we're definitely seeing that. But with some of the bullion coins as well, because we're not sure what the mintage will be. Typically, bullion is an unlimited quantity of coins that they make. But we think there's going to be some that have smaller mintages than they would normally. So they're going to make them more collectible. So you've kind of got the outgoing coins plus the ingoing ones, incoming ones. So yeah, there's really some good opportunities there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. And so Chris, you're based in UK right now, are you?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So what is the vibe there? Like I'm pretty confident here that living in New Zealand, we feel pretty safe with a lot of what's happening in Europe, at least directly anyway. But you're a lot closer to the action over there in terms of the Ukrainian situation. And like the general vibe in the UK around that and with inflation and with winter coming in, is that kind of, I guess, creating this soup, this cold soup that feels kind of like a recession in the wind? Are people kind of buckling down? And as it relates to gold, do you think that's going to be kind of, I guess, bearish? People going to go off investing in precious metals? Or what's your view on that?
Yeah, notwithstanding the fact that the UK economy, the UK government seem to be in complete disarray. Apart from that, of course, we've got Ukraine and we've got the incredible, I can only describe it as it is a wave over here of fear, I think, from the fear of winter. People's are really pushed financially, not just in UK, but right across Europe. Pretty worried about Ukraine. I think that's changed. Yeah. Sentiments changed slightly, but a little bit more positive, but real worry economically as to how they're going to survive the next six, nine months. We're going into winter here. You can see it's dark around me. It's early morning at the moment. And there is a real, real worry. So I believe that is certainly pushing sentiment towards precious metals investment. And with what we're seeing, it's interesting how, you know, gold especially has not seen, is not reflected in the geopolitical ups and downs we've had in the last few months. But it remains a strong investment choice. So yeah, it's pretty tough over here at the moment, and probably more so than anywhere else, I think, in the world, and probably more so than New Zealand at the moment. Even though it's, I think it's pretty tough with you guys.
Yeah, and so like onto the price aspect then, because obviously we're dealing with an asset which is worldwide. What is your view over the next, say, 1 year, 5 year, 10 years with the price of gold?
Yeah, look, I wish I knew, but all I can really say in terms of, we usually find that demand precedes the prices. So as ourselves trading it every day, all day, every day, when we start to see the demand increase, and particularly some of our customers who are quite good at picking the prices, we do pay attention to that, and we have seen that. So we definitely see a run up in that in terms of the demand for the metal. And you know, I think the price has a long way to go. You know, I don't think any of those problems are out there getting solved. And you know, I just sort of see that continuing. You know, we're probably, you know, there's talk we could be entering the next bull market for precious metals. So I sort of would take that view. And I think the hearing what we hear from our customers, and you know, they're kind of at the coalface in a lot of ways, even more than we are, in terms of being out there looking at the research, studying things, looking at what they're going to invest in, how much they're going to invest. Yeah, I think the future for prices is still quite strong.
And what about just like the number of people? Is most of your sales coming from pre-existing clients and they're just buying more, or is it a lot of new clients? Are you picking up a lot of newer investors that are starting to figure this out? Or is it really just still for, you know, the old school investor?
Oh, no, definitely not. No, we have quite the range of customer. So it could be the individual investor who has 5 to 10 grand. They're looking for something to purchase. It could be, you know, up to someone who has a few hundred thousand. They have their own business. They're thinking about retirement, through to people who might be looking from a legacy point of view of what they're leaving for their family and what they're creating for the future generations. So, yeah, we have. But I think there are things like the silver squeeze, which has sort of brought that awareness back to it, in terms of something that people should be doing, should have some precious metals in their portfolio.
I'd say that the dollar price, I think the dollar price, the general sentiment at the moment, you know, I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago, is that we all know the dollar's been completely over, you know, it's the highest it's been in 20 years. But that's going to reverse, and it's reversing already. We saw that last week. Hmm. That will directly affect the price of gold, and in a positive way. And so at this conference, it was generally believed that, yeah, there's, in a US dollar term, there's probably $200 to $300 upside in gold that should be there now, but because of the strength of gold, the strength of the dollar, it's not. So I think we're going to see that rebalancing as things change economically, particularly in the US. It's interesting, you know, what's happening in the US in that respect, and that tends to drive gold at the front end. US seem to be either coming out of a recession or not even going into a recession, which is changing things.
Well, staying on that then, so with the US Fed, how could we as investors kind of look at the Fed as it relates to gold? Like, is there something that we should be watching in the next little while in terms of what they say or what they do that will give us any sort of signal that the price of gold is looking pretty attractive?
I mean, I'd say from my point of view, research, just keep your fingers on all of those news feeds. I mean, there are a couple within the industry particularly strong as to what's happening out there, relation between precious metals and particularly the US economy, Kitco, who are based in Canada. And it's just keeping your fingertips on what's actually happening on a day-to-day basis. I don't think there's any... There's a lot of feel, and Rich was saying, you know, a lot of our customers are experts in doing that background research and just making sure they're on the button. But certainly, you know, it's a turbulent world, and that is affecting precious metals almost immediately. And often it's the case that it's when New Zealand market is asleep. So that's why we've got to be working 24 hours on this.
That's right. But yeah, thanks very much, guys, for making the time, especially short notice like this. Really appreciate your time. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rich, from MyGold. And we'll catch up with you guys soon.
Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Thanks for listening into the NZ Everyday Investor Podcast, a show that's about helping you, the everyday Kiwi, build wealth. To learn more about the show, please visit nzeverydayinvestor.com or visit your show notes on your podcast player. There, you can find out how to make contact, sign up to our free newsletter, and check out previous episodes. The mission of the NZ Everyday Investor is to help increase wealth for the everyday Kiwi. If you'd like to support this effort, then there's a few things you can do. Write a review, comment on social media, or support the show on Patreon and subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Before we finish up, just another reminder that what was discussed today is for educational purposes only. Ideally, before acting on anything covered here, please contact your trusted financial advisor and do your own research. Catch you next time.